In The Long Sunset by R.C. Sheriff, Julian is played by Stephen Murray, Serena, his wife, by Pauline Letts, and Arthur by Julian Glover. The year is 410 A.D. The Long Sunset.
Visitors seem to be unusual at Julian's house these days. Farm seems pretty prosperous, though. I wish my men looked as well fed as those sheep. Here's someone.
You remember me, Luger?
Yes, sir. You are the Tribune, Marcus Septimus. We had no news that you were coming. Come in, sir. If you'll wait a moment, sir, the master's not here at present.
Very well.
In here, sir. I'll tell the mistress you're here, sir.
Thank you.
Everything just the same. Solid. Roman. The altar to the family god. What was his name now? Oh, yes. Sylvanus. Oh. Hello. This is new, a little Christian shrine. Well, well. Julian? I wonder. No. Well, probably Serena.
Ah, Serena.
Marcus, it's wonderful to see you again. It's ages.
Yes, it's a long time. Oh. You haven't changed. You quite put me to shame. I'm older, graver, shabbier, I'm afraid.
No, we're none of us any younger. But why didn't you send word you were coming? Julian would have been here to meet you.
Is Julian away?
Oh, no, he's out on the farm. But he'll be delighted to see you. We haven't had a real visitor, oh, for years. But I thought you were stationed up in York.
I've marched a detachment down to Richborough. I saw them fed and made them as comfortable as I could in the fort. The quartermaster there ought to be hanged. There was practically nothing in the storeroom.
What? Really?
Then, as soon as I'd made my arrangements with the harbour master, I came straight over to see you and Julian.
Richborough? Are you...
wonderful blackberries this year, Mother. Masses of them.
Oh, I'm sorry. Here's an old friend, Paula. You remember Paula, Marcus?
Yes, of course.
Have you come to take Otho with you?
Otho?
No, don't tell me you've forgotten Otho. If you still think he's a little boy, you'll get the surprise of your life. He's enormous now.
Last time you were here, you promised to take him to York when he was old enough and train him to be an officer.
Huh? Oh, yes, of course. Yes, I remember.
We've given up the business in Canterbury, you know, for the time being. We had to. Most of the best wine came from Spain, but they've had so much trouble over there, the vineyards were ruined. As for Italy, well, we haven't had any wine from them for years. Came by sea, and the pirates used to sink the ships.
So you decided to be farmers?
Well, until things get right again. It was a wrench for Julian to close the offices. We're such an old family business, you know, one of the oldest in Britain. But he's done wonderfully well on the farm.
Here's Father coming now.
Here's Marcus come to see us, Julian.
Marcus, this is wonderful.
You're looking well, Julian.
Oh, farming, that's what does it. It's too late to show you round tonight, but tomorrow we'll make a day of it. How long are you staying?
I must go before it's dark.
Oh, that's ridiculous. You must stay.
Oh, I wish I could. But I've brought some men down from the north, and we're sailing tonight. So, this is Otho.
What do you think of him? You'll make a fine young centurion by the time you put him through it.
I'm 18 next month, sir. You said when I was 18.
Will you be coming back soon?
I hope so.
Could you give me a letter, sir, to the Legion Commander at York? I could go there at once and start my training. I'd like to serve in a cavalry regiment, if there's any chance.
Argus, it's a pity you can't stay a few days to see what we're doing here. I reckon this is one of the best farms in Britain, now. Serena told you we've closed the old wine business?
Yes.
We've always kept this old place for holidays, and When I looked round and saw what a hopeless mess these fools had got the Empire into, I made up my mind to build my own little empire on this land of mine and be damned to the lot of them. When Rome was young, every man was a farmer. It's time we got back to the old pioneering spirit.
Now we don't have to depend on anybody for anything.
We're lucky here, living close to the fort with a good, sound garrison inside it. They say these Saxon raiders are a nuisance farther up the coast. They never come near Richborough. They run like rabbits at the sight of a Roman helmet.
Of course, it's quiet in the winter. We used to go to the theatre in Canterbury quite a lot, but that's closed now.
So we pass the time when it's too dark to work outside. Look what Serena's been up to.
Oh, Julian.
She's got her own little church in this corner.
No, leave it alone, Julian. He's always making fun of it.
I never make fun of it, darling. I think it's charming. You got any Christians in the army nowadays?
Oh, a few. Not many.
It used to be a lot until the government began to encourage it, and then it went out. Christians don't want to be encouraged. They like being persecuted. That's why I persecute Serena. She loves it.
I'm a Christian now.
Oh, that's all right for women. Otto and I stick to good old Sylvanus. He's a man's god. Yeah, Otto, I told you not to leave rabbits on the altar.
You left your boots on it the other night.
It's a different thing altogether.
You might call rabbits an offering, but Sylvanus doesn't want your boots.
Ah, good old Sylvanus. We forget you sometimes, but you never let us down. You never let the spring run dry. Luga, bring some wine.
I have it ready here, sir.
Oh, good. Serena?
No, not for me just now, dear. Thank you.
Thank you, Luga. Wonderful little fellow there. You know, I bought him in Canterbury 30 years ago for sixpence. It was during that big scare when the Irish landed in Wales. Lots of people got in a panic and left Britain and sold their servants for anything they could get. I bought 50 of these little Caledonians for 25 shillings. There's 300 of them now. They breed like rabbits. So you see, I reckon I got them at a penny each.
Well, now, you two men want to have a yarn about old times, don't you? Come along, Paula. We must finish bottling that honey before supper.
Would you like some fruit to take with you?
Oh, I should very much.
I'll pack you a basket. We've got some wonderful apples this year.
If I walk down to the fort with you, sir, could you show me around? I'd love to see it.
Another time, Otto. I'm afraid it's too late now.
Will you write that letter for me?
It's best to wait till I come back.
Come along, Otto. You've got plenty of time to be a soldier.
Oh. Well, you old villain, it's wonderful to see you again. Here. You look as if you had some hard marching.
Julian, how long is it since you had any news?
Oh, good heavens, it's ages since we had any real news. Rumors all over the place, but we don't listen to them any longer.
I didn't realize you'd cut yourself off like this. I thought you would have known at least a little of what's happened.
I suppose things are muddling on the same old way.
Until the spring this year. And suddenly everything happened at once. Huns, Vandals, Moors, Goths. Heaven knows who else. A whole lot of them came at us together. The frontier all round the Empire caved in like a rotten ship. Africa's gone. The Germans are across the Rhine. Spain and Gaul are in chaos.
Well, it's happened before. In my grandfather's time, they said Rome was finished, but things got right again. We run into a bad patch now and then. There's always some good man who turns up the last moment. Rome always gets her own back and wins the last battle.
Yes, it's happened so often that we didn't worry any longer. Even when the Goths invaded Italy this spring, we sat back as usual and waited for a great man to come along and drive them out. But this time there wasn't one. No leader. The emperor and his hangers-on ran for their lives. Alaric marched through Italy without a fight and broke down the gates of Rome and sacked the city.
That's true, is it?
It was bound to happen one day. But I never thought it'd be in our time.
Well, it only goes to prove what I've been saying for years. We've got to stand on our own legs in this island, Marcus.
Yes, but
there's
Julian...
no need for us to be dragged down with the rest of the Empire if we organize these British people and train them to fight for their homes. We'll have to keep the legions here until we can defend ourselves, but if we build our own fleet and a few more forts along the coast, then nobody on earth can touch us. We can set an example for Romans all over the world to fight their way back to the great days of the Empire again.
It might have been possible, but it's too late now.
Why should it be?
It's not a pleasant thing to tell an old friend in his own home on a peaceful summer evening like this. But the Roman legions have given up this island, Julian. It isn't part of the Empire any longer. whole army's gone and taken the fleet with it.
What do you mean? Why should they go?
After the sack of Rome, commanders in Britain took matters in their own hands. They were ambitious men, too big for this small island. They saw the empire lying in the gutter, waiting to be picked up by anyone with the strength to take it. There were four good legions here. They persuaded them to march on Rome. I was in charge of a small outpost in the north when orders came to bring the men back. I thought it was simply a routine relief. And gradually I discovered that we had been the last troops in northern Britain. All the news was out by then. Rome was finished. Rome had gone. Welsh tribes came pouring down from the mountains. The Scots came flooding across the wall, and the Saxons came sailing in. Every night we saw the whole sky behind us alight with burning villages and towns. Those men of mine in the fort down there are the last Roman soldiers left in Britain. When we sail tonight, it'll be the end. I came here because I've got a chance to help you. There are ships to spare down there in the harbor, room for you and your family. If you load a wagon with the things you need and come down before midnight, I'll be there to meet you, and we'll travel together as far as Boulogne.
My dear fellow, how could we go? Where can we go to?
Haven't you any friends over there?
But you say the whole empire's in chaos. It'll be worse over there than it is here.
Not in the same way, Julian. These Goths and Germans, they're not savages. They come to settle, not to murder. The new people and the old settle down together peacefully. But the men who are swarming into this island, they're not human beings. They're animals. I know, because I've seen them and fought them. You can't stay here, Julian. You've got to come away.
This is my home, Marcus. We've been in Britain for generations. It's a shock to hear what's happened, naturally, but in the long run, it'll be a blessing in disguise once we've organized ourselves and built up an army of good native Britons. No good asking you to stay and help us.
Oh, I would gladly, but I'm still a soldier of the Empire. I'm still bound by my oath. Julian, you talk of organizing and leading these British people, but are you sure that we Romans have done enough for them in the past to make them want to follow us now?
Then you think we're finished?
No, I don't say that. If you can persuade these British people to work with you as partners and stop thinking them as slaves, but it's going to take time to raise a native army. If I were you, I'd begin with some kind of local defense. What are your neighbors like? Any good?
Well, there's only Lucian. He's an old man full of rheumatism, and Porcius. His family were shipbuilders in the old days. We three are the only big landowners round here. We might raise 500 men between us.
Well, they need to be trained as soldiers.
Well, I do that myself, but it's years since I was in the army. Lucian can hardly walk, and Porcius wouldn't be any good. We need an experienced man. I wish you could do it.
I met a man in Winchester last year. Interesting fellow. When those Welsh tribes began making trouble, he raised a small private army of his own and helped the Romans in the Severn Valley to organize themselves. Did a very good job, they say.
Do you think he'd come and help us here?
He might.
Should we have to pay him?
Oh, he's not likely to come for nothing.
Well, if he brought his army with him, it'd cost a fortune.
It's not an army. It's the band of adventurers. Oh, a couple of hundred of them, I suppose.
What sort of fellow is he?
Well, I wouldn't call him a gentleman, but I don't think you need a gentleman at the moment. He's a thick-set fellow with red hair. Probably got some of the old West Country native blood in him. He calls himself Arthur.
Oh.
I think you'd get on with him all right, because he talks in the same way as you do about making Britain strong and independent. Now, why don't you see those two friends of yours and send him some kind of proposition? Well, he may not come. There are plenty of people who give a lot for his help today. You're sure you won't come with me?
I'll speak to Serena. I'm certain she'd rather stay here than be without a home in a strange country.
Well, if you do decide, then I'll be down there waiting for you till midnight.
Shall I say goodbye to her?
Serena?
Yes?
Marcus is going now.
Oh. Well, I've packed you some cold chicken. I'm sure the food on the ship won't be any good.
Thank you, Serena.
I'll get one of the men to carry this down for you.
Oh, no, no, I can take it.
Oh, no, it doesn't look right. A Roman officer carrying a basket.
Oh, we do lots of funny things these days.
Well, goodbye, Marcus. We'll be seeing you again soon.
I hope so.
Go this way. Across the terrace and through the gardens. You'll be able to see my roses before it's dark.
Yes, I'd like to. Well, goodbye, Julian.
Bye, old friend.
Poor Marcus. He looks ill. I hope he'll be all right. They're late with the lamps in the lighthouse this evening. I've never seen it dark like that before.
I don't expect me to trouble about them tonight.
Why?
I'm afraid something rather bad's happened, Serena. The Roman army has left Britain.
But that's absurd. Why should they go?
It's one of these mad things that happen nowadays. Marcus wanted us to go with him on his ship to Gaul.
But what on earth should we do in Gaul?
He thinks it'd be safer there than it would be here.
Well, what's the good of being safe if you haven't got a home?
You'd rather stay here and see it through.
Well, of course. Wouldn't you, Julian?
I should, yes.
It's hard to think of being here without the Roman army. Does it mean that we're not part of the Empire any longer?
In a way. But you mustn't worry, Serena. Everything's going to be all right. Marcus told me of a good fellow who might come along and train our own men for us. I'll see Lucian and Porteous in the morning, and we'll send somebody to bring him here. Is Otho in his room? I'd like to speak to him.
Oh, yes.
For the time being, Serena, it'd be best to stay in the house after dark.
Oh, my dear, surely, in our own garden.
I'd rather you didn't, for the present. Tell Otho to come here.
Yes, I will.
Otho! Your father wants
to lock up.
Oh, has Marcus gone?
Yes.
Oh, Father, he promised...
Yes, something I've got to tell you, Otho.
Hmm?
Sit down. You know, things haven't been going too well for Rome these last few years.
Why, what's happened?
Things began to break up rather badly last year. Rebellions, revolutions, all over the place. We've had them before, but it was worse this time. That rumor we heard about Rome being captured... It's true. It was captured.
Well, if it's like that... Then it's no good me hanging about here until Marcus comes back. If you wrote a letter to the commander of the 6th Legion and said I was your son, that would be enough, wouldn't it? I could take the letter to York and get on with my training at once. I could leave tomorrow.
I was going to tell you about that, Otho. The 6th Legion isn't in York any longer.
Hmm?
It's left Britain. The commanders have taken over the whole army on some crazy march to Rome.
You mean they're going to recapture Rome? Is that where Marcus was going?
Well, Marcus is an officer of the Legion. He had to obey orders.
That's wonderful! To march through Gaul and Italy and recapture Rome. Oh, Marcus wanted me to stay here till he comes back.
You're not trained, Otho.
But he promised to train me. I'll be his servant. I'll clean his armor and groom his horse. I'll do anything to be with an army in the field on a wonderful campaign like this. I'll go down to the fort and see him.
Otho, this isn't a glorious march of the Imperial Army to save the Empire. It's a sordid scramble for what's left on a dead body. It's happened before, time and again. It's the thing that's torn Rome to pieces and thrown it in the gutter. In 200 years, we've had 79 emperors, and 72 of them were murdered. That's a nice record, isn't it? Those men will never get to Rome. Halfway across Gaul, they'll meet another army on its way to grab what they can get. They'll fight each other and wipe each other out. Two more armies lost and another swarm of savages pours across the Rhine. I don't want you to have any part in this madness, Otho. Your place is here, in this island, where we're going to keep our reason and common sense.
You're not saying this because it's true. You're saying it for yourself, aren't you?
It is true.
You're saying it because I'm more used to you digging cabbages and planting onions. Ever since I was a boy, you've told me how proud you were to be an officer in the 6th Legion. What shall I have to be proud of when I'm your age?
A great deal more.
if we can save this island.
How can you save this island if you don't save Rome? I don't care what you say. I'm going. I'll get my things and go down to Marcus at the fort.
Arthur, you're not going. Marcus won't take you without my authority, and I'm not going to give it to you.
If your father had done this to you, if a wonderful chance had come and he had stopped you because he wanted you to feed the pigs, what would you have thought of him?
We've never misunderstood one another, Arthur. I don't want it to happen now. You've got to try and understand how things really are.
Ever since I was a boy, you've talked about the glories of Rome. What a wonderful thing it was to be a Roman. Why did you talk like that if it wasn't true?
If I was wrong, then I'm sorry. But there's one thing I've always said that's still true today. It's still a splendid thing to be a Roman.
Splendid to be a Roman when there's no Rome.
To be at the beginning of a new adventure. Isn't that a splendid thing?
Skinning rabbits. Feeding pigs. If you'd let me go with Marcus, I'd have been out there tonight on one of those ships on the way to Rome. You take away a chance I've wanted all my life to save yourself the cost of a new slave. Does that make you proud of being a Roman?
Arthur! Well, Sylvanus, I've never asked much of you beyond keeping the spring going and the meadows green. I don't know whether you're any good at anything else, but do what you can. As for you, my wife and daughter think a great deal of you. Serena tells me you could perform miracles. Well, you've got your chance now.
Ah.
Hello, Borges.
They've come in.
I'm at Lucian's house now.
How many of them?
Just Arthur and one of his officers, that's all. What's the matter? You look worried.
I am worried. A whole crowd of my slaves have gone.
Gone?
Disappeared in the night without a word. Have any of yours gone?
Mine? Good heavens, no. They look upon this place as their home.
Well, they'll starve in a few weeks. And serve them right. The whole country's swarming with escape
plans. Well, a lot depends on this meeting with Arthur. It won't do any good to let him think we've lost our nerve. Well,
you can depend on me for one thing. I'm not going to give in to him. I've heard a good deal about this fellow Arthur since we met last week. When he helped those Romans in the Severn Valley, he put in an enormous bill for expenses. Practically ruined them.
But he saved them, didn't he?
Oh, he saved them, but he left them practically without their boots. But he's not going to do that to us. We've got to stand up to him.
I don't think that'll be necessary. If he's got any sense, he'll realize that we can do as much for him as he can for us. Good morning, Lucian. Come along in. Can I help you?
No, it's all right, Lex. I can manage. I've still got one good leg. This is Arthur.
Good morning.
Morning.
And his nephew, Gawain.
You have a good journey?
No better than I expected.
Wonderful weather for the time of year.
Wonderful. Wind from the northeast, isn't it?
Yes. It's cold, of course, but it always brings a dry spell for the harvest.
If that's all it brings, you'll be lucky. Well, gentlemen, you're in a mess, aren't you?
I wouldn't say that. We're not beaten yet by a long way, and we don't intend to be. Not if we can help it.
You mean not if I can help it?
Now, look here, I'm not going to...
Gentlemen, please. Let's sit down. Julian, I think you might explain to Arthur what you had in mind.
Yeah?
Julian held strong views about the administration of this island. Some of us considered him a revolutionary. But this disaster, I think, proves him entirely right.
Well, I simply believe that Britain should be run by the Romans who've made their homes here, not by a crowd of officials who just came here for what they could get.
Yes.
I stood for an all-British army instead of foreigners. I wasn't thinking of a complete break from Rome, but we should have taken a strong line and governed Britain for the benefit of the people who lived here.
If you believe that, then why didn't you do something while you had the time?
Well, I'm not trying to make excuses. We hoped for the best and let things slide. But despite what's happened, I still think we've got the time.
If you've got the time, then how do you propose to employ it?
When I say we've got time, I don't mean there's any to spare. If there was,
then the first thing would be a strong central government. But that's impossible at the moment because the men most fitted to lead are scattered all over Britain with no chance of getting together.
Who do you mean by the men most fitted to lead?
The responsibility falls on men like us, brought up to organize and manage large estates.
Yeah.
It's our duty to give a lead to the whole people in a time of emergency.
Now, we must begin by organizing strong centers of self-supporting local resistance.
And you three gentlemen propose to be the first center.
Does that sound absurd to you?
No, not at all. Very sensible.
Now, if you look at this map, I think you'll understand what we have in mind. You hold that there. You see, our three properties stand together in a good position for defense. Along the north, we're protected by the River Stour. To the south, we've the marshes. And over here, my own land joins the seacoast with a steep cliff along its whole front. You might almost say we're on a miniature island.
We're only exposed along the western side, where my own land meets the open downs.
Well, that could be protected with a ditch and palisade. Yes. Inside these boundaries, we farm 1,000 acres of land. We've had a good harvest. If we pool our resources, we could support a small army. I think we could make ourselves impregnable against any sort of attack.
If we set an example here, then other groups of Romans might do the same thing.
Yes.
We could establish a network of strong points right across the island. When that's done, we can set about the business of electing a new government.
What part do you propose I play in all this?
You have your own small army. At present, I think about 200 men.
187, to be exact. And 3 boys.
And that, so far as I know, is the only effective army at present in existence to defend Britain. With all respect to your men, it's not a pleasant thought.
It's not much to chat about, is it?
It may well be the beginnings of a fine British army.
If you were to bring your own men here and set up your standard, then I guarantee you'll have 1,000 men by the spring. 20,000 when word gets round of the stands being made.
I would be commander-in-chief and you would be the senators?
In the way that Rome began 1,000 years ago. Ah. A few farmers joined together for their own protection. They made a miniature kingdom that grew until it embraced the world. Perhaps that's how it will begin again. 3 farmers and a soldier working together in the only remaining corner of the old empire that has the will to hold its own. But we're asking you to accept a great responsibility. No doubt you would like to consider it and discuss it privately.
Hmm? Oh, if you like.
We shall be at your service when you've had your talk.
Yeah. Right. Oh, Gawain. These poor fish. Poor dead fish. Dead for years and they talk as if they'd just been born.
You needn't waste your pity on them. Were they serious about all this? About starting a new Rome?
Oh, yes, you can see that.
You're to set up your standard here and rally the poor old British to fight for them. It's funny, we never thought about a standard. Have to get one, do things in style.
At least they've got the pluck to stand their ground. Most of them went scuttling away like rats off a sinking ship.
Now, you'll be crazy if you waste your time here.
I'm interested in this part of the island. We may not have a chance of seeing it again for a good many years.
In a few months, it'll be a death trap.
It will. But I've got to have supplies to see us through the winter, and these men are rich.
Oh, you can pick supplies up anywhere.
You saw the country between here and Winchester. Deserted farms, corn rotting in the fields, men throwing their land away and shutting themselves up in the towns. There'll be a famine next spring.
Give me 12 good fellows and I'll find enough to keep us going for a year.
You know what I've taught my men. We work for what we need. We don't loot and we don't rob. If we start that game, we're finished.
Well, you do what you think. But if you stay here, you can say goodbye to all your grand schemes. You take my advice. Start back to Winchester before it's dark.
We thought you'd like some wine.
Oh, well, and who do you belong to?
Who do I belong to? My family, I suppose. This house.
You're pretty. What are you, German? Greek?
I'm a Roman, like my parents. My mother thought you'd like a cup of wine.
Oh, you're not the daughter of...
Gawain, if you had any sense, you'd stop making a fool of yourself.
I'm very sorry. In that simple dress...
You thought I was a servant.
Well, all the Roman girls I've seen, they dress up and paint their faces and give themselves airs. I never met one like you before.
If you want some wine, take it and don't blather.
I don't mind you thinking I'm a servant, because I am. We all work here. Oh. We all serve one another.
You're very nice.
Don't you have lots of servants in the house?
We used to in the old days, but things got difficult and Father made them do more useful work on the farm. You're Arthur.
That's right.
We've heard so much about you. You did wonderful things to save the people when the Irish raiders came. They say you've got a magic sword.
Yeah, here it is.
You were the only man who could pull it out of a great block of stone.
That's it.
When you carry it in battle, the enemy runs away.
Like rabbit.
And now you've come to help us.
If I can.
Oh, we're very grateful to you. I don't understand everything that's happened, but it's serious, isn't it?
Yes. It's not going to be easy.
Father doesn't want you to see that he's worried, but he is.
Oh.
We all want to help. My brother's longing to be one of your men, but he says he couldn't ask you in case you didn't want him.
Oh, you've got a brother, have you?
He's nearly 18, quite big and strong.
Well, you tell him not to be afraid of asking.
And if there's anything I can do, we make our own clothes from our own sheep's wool. Could I make you a warm riding cloak for the winter?
That'll be fine.
You couldn't manage one for me too, could you?
I'll try.
Well, if you'll tell your father and the others to come in, will you?
Yes. Oh, and I'm so glad you're going to help us. We shall sleep well tonight with you here with that wonderful sword.
She's really something, isn't she?
Fancy that yarn about this sword getting right across Britain.
She's a wonderful girl. Lovely.
Well, you definitely think we ought to go tonight?
No, I don't think so.
Oh, but if you think it's a death trap...
I don't mind a death trap if you don't. After all, we can't let these old fellows down after raising their hopes.
Well, gentlemen. We'll do what we can to help you.
Yeah. I don't think you'll have cause to regret it.
I'll write a letter to my second-in-command, and your steward can take it this afternoon. I'll have 50 of my men sent here at once. The others will remain at my headquarters in Winchester. Now then, let's have another look at this map of yours.
Yes.
These boundaries. How long are they?
About 8 miles all round, but there are 2 miles of river and 3 of marsh.
And a mile of cliff. Get every man you can spare onto cutting strong stakes for a palisade across these unprotected downs.
Right, sir.
When my men arrive, we'll organize gangs to dig a ditch. You fill the ditch with brambles and thorns, and then you'll be all right.
If they did attack, then your men are pretty good, aren't they?
They can deal with most things. But it's going to be a hard job. And they don't work for nothing.
Oh, naturally, we quite understand. They must be paid. I think all three of us have taken care of our money. Personally, when things got bad, I took the precaution of burying my fortune of gold in a secret place. And my friends have done the same.
Gold? That wouldn't be worth the bags you put it in. You can't eat gold. You can't wear it to keep the cold out. Or make swords and daggers with it. A mountain of gold wouldn't keep one Saxon out today.
At the moment, possibly, but its value will come back when things get straight again.
We'll forget about gold and get down to business. Now, I understand you were all trading in a big way.
Yes.
You were a woolen merchant?
Yes.
You were a wine dealer? Mm-hmm. And I think you were in the timber trade.
Yes, but we've all had to close our businesses in these bad times.
But you're careful, men. When you closed your warehouses in Canterbury, I'm sure you laid by ample stocks on these country estates of yours.
Naturally, we did what we could in that way.
Yeah.
We had to keep a reserve for when we start up again.
Then I'll tell you what I shall need. From you, I suggest 200 suits of woolen clothing with woolen underwear and stockings to see my men through the winter months ahead.
Yes.
From you, I shall need 12 strong timber wagons for transport in my future campaigns. And from you, I think 50 jars of good wine, the big jars, you know. Those will be the individual payments, and collectively, you would supply 5 tons of corn, 20 bullocks, and 100 sheep.
But, my dear sir, that's an impossible price.
If you don't think your homes and lives worth paying for, then that's your affair, not mine.
Personally, I'd give all I have, gladly, if it goes towards the defense of this island as a whole. I was thinking of something rather more than a business deal to hire a soldier to dig a ditch round 3 Romans.
It will be something more. You admit yourselves that this small army of mine is the only thing that stands between you Romans and complete disaster.
Yes.
If they starve, then you're finished. I've got to keep them alive and strong enough to be the leaders of this great army you're praying for. That's what your provisions will do this winter, and I'm ready to pay you in full by working for them.
Well,
I could bring 50 armed men here next week and take the stuff. I could take everything you've got, and you couldn't raise a finger.
You wouldn't.
But I don't do things that way. Well, I'm not going to force you into anything. If you prefer not to pay and look after yourselves, then that's all the same to me. But I must know at once, because I can't waste time.
Well, we're in your hands. We must accept the best you can do for us.
All right.
Are we agreed?
Yes.
Agreed?
I suppose so.
Good.
Now, I think it's the wise decision, Cautious.
You'd better get the lamps in that lighthouse going again this evening. You don't want to advertise to every pirate on the sea that the fort's deserted.
I was down at the fort with my son this morning. There's any amount of old swords and helmets of the army left behind.
Collect everything you can and get it cleaned up. You'll need all the weapons you can lay hands on. Now, I'll get that letter written to my second-in-command at Winchester.
You care to use my library? I've got writing materials, everything that's necessary.
Good. Come with me, Gawain.
Right.
You got somebody who can write?
I'll do that for you myself.
I told you it'd be like this. That man's a barefaced robber.
I think he's honest.
Honest? You call it honest to strip us of everything we've got? It's humiliating, this half-breed or whatever he is, dictating terms to Roman.
We've only ourselves to blame, Porcius. We've had years of warning and we did nothing. We found it pleasanter to live in a fool's paradise. But it's an expensive place to live in.
Oh, what's happening, Gawain?
It's happened. It's all over. Best fight I've had for years.
Well, were there men trying to land?
Yes. My goodness, I've got a thirst. Could I help myself?
Have they gone now?
Those that got away did. We killed 12 of them. Oh, great stuff, this wine of yours.
You killed them?
Well, they didn't come to play games with us. Oh, Arthur timed the whole thing beautifully. We were having breakfast when one of the lookout boys came running in to say there were 7 ships out there in the distance. Arthur got everybody under cover. He wanted to catch them by surprise. I went off to fetch your husband.
He's all right?
Oh, he's all right. He was in great form.
And Otho?
He's all right, too. We only lost 3 men. Now, from out there, on those ships, the Saxons couldn't have seen a thing.
Oh.
But we had 100 men hidden behind the rocks. There. See?
Yes.
Now, they sailed up and down for a bit, spying out the land. Then the first 2 ships came straight in, right up the beach. There must have been about 20 men on each. Oh, they'd come to stay, all right, because they began unloading sacks of stuff.
Oh, dear.
Then Arthur gave the word, and out we came, yelling our heads off. You never saw anything like it. Those little Caledonians of yours went fighting mad.
What?
Arthur wanted some prisoners, but your fellows wouldn't have it. They drowned all the ones they could catch, then started cutting up the dead ones on the beach. Arthur stopped that. Doesn't like that sort of thing. But he let them break the ships up and pile the bodies on it, have a bonfire. They're probably eating them by now. A nice piece of roast Saxon, something new to these boys. Oh, don't worry. Your 2 men are all right. Otho was terrific. He sailed in with that Roman sword of his slashing out right and left. He nearly cut my head off.
It sounds horrible.
Well, it's all over now. You won't see them again for a bit. I'm sorry this happened today, because I'd made up my mind to see you about something else this morning. Something quite different. I'd do it some other time if you like.
Hmm? Oh, what is it?
I've been meaning to say it for a long while, but you know how I feel about Paula, don't you? She's fond of me, I'm sure of that. I know you people are particular about these things, but I'm really quite all right, because my father was a Roman general. He commanded the legion at Carlion, but he was sent back to Rome before I was born. I haven't got anything to prove it, but I know my mother wouldn't have made it up. He was a real high-class Roman.
Well, naturally, I've known for a long time that Paula's fond of you, Gawain. I want her to be happy, and I'm sure you would do your best to make her happy, but would you be able to, do you think? You see, it's really a question of a home, isn't it?
Oh, she'd have that all right. When the Roman governor cleared out of Winchester, we took his house. It's a fine big place. Lots of our men are married. And when we're away like this, the women all live together, and Arthur's wife takes care of them. She's very nice. And Paula would like her.
Paula's a Christian. Did you know that?
Oh, yes. Guinevere's a Christian, too. Arthur's wife.
Oh.
She runs a school for the children. She's more educated than Arthur. He doesn't bother much about anything but the fighting, but Guinevere thinks a lot about what's going to happen when the fighting's over. She wants better people than the ones we've got today. So if we had children, they'd be all right.
Well, In the old days, a girl was betrothed for a long time to the son of people who one knew. I'm not saying that against you, Gawain. Times have changed. All I want is for Paula to be happy and well cared for. In these difficult days, a man has to be very strong and good to do that.
Do you like me well enough to let me try?
I won't stand in your way, Gawain. If Paula agrees, then I think my husband would.
That's fine.
Well, I'll talk to him later and let you know.
Could I come in this evening?
If you want to.
Gawain, you all right?
Yes, rather. I'm all right. Great show, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Not much doubt about who won that battle.
No.
Well, I'll be off. There'll be some clearing up to do down there. See you later.
Oh, Julian, I'm so glad you're all right. I didn't realize what was happening.
It's all over now. There was nothing much.
Now sit down, dear, and have a rest. And let me take those heavy boots off.
It's funny to fight a battle and then come back to one's own armchair and slippers.
It was terribly sudden, wasn't it?
I think Arthur was expecting it, but I wish he could have done it in a different way.
Well, what else could he have done?
Well, I don't think those fellows really wanted to fight. There were women and children in the other ships. Just a few families looking for somewhere to settle. Their own land's very poor, you know, all rock and mountains. If I could have spoken their language and gone down and explained that this was our property, I think they'd have said they were sorry and gone off somewhere else.
What were they like?
Big, lazy-looking men with yellow hair and light eyes. Not bad-looking. They fought well, but all the time I had a feeling that they didn't want to. They didn't seem to understand why our men were so violent. There was something rather pathetic about the stuff they'd landed before we attacked them. Neat little baskets of food, a box of children's toys, and some funny little dark green trees done up in sacking.
What did they want trees for?
The plant, I suppose. To make this country look like home.
Must have been horrible.
It didn't seem like that. It wasn't real. There we were, all mixed up, scrambling and slipping on the rocks and seaweed, shouting and screaming, smell of sweat and hot sheepskins and swords banging on shields and helmets, and all the time I was thinking to myself, this is the place where I taught Otto to swim when he was a little boy. I could see the ledge of rock where we used to have our picnics, where you and I used to lie in the shade on the summer afternoon and watch Otto and Paula hunting for baby crabs in the pools when the tide was out. That was all I was thinking.
Gawain says Arthur fought well.
Yes, I was proud of Arthur. I'm glad Arthur was there to see him. Arthur despises us, you know.
Oh, no.
He does. He thinks we Romans are soft, pampered, finished. When I saw Arthur there, fighting like a young lion, I felt like shouting at Arthur, there's a pure-bred Roman for you. He's as good as any of you and better.
Gawain told me what those little Caledonians of ours did.
Well, that was different. Arthur fought like a man. The Saxons fought like men, too. But those little dark creatures fought like animals. Frightened me a bit, Serena. I couldn't believe they were the same nice little men who used to go about their farm work so quietly and obediently. Now they've tasted blood. Now let's talk about it.
You must go and lie down before lunch.
After lunch, I've got to go out and pick the rest of the apples. Doesn't make sense, does it? Nothing makes sense nowadays. What was Gawain doing here?
It was what we expected, Julian. It was about Paula.
What did you say?
What could I say? He's quite a nice boy. He says his father was a Roman general.
Oh, they're a funny lot, these men of Arthur's. They ridicule Rome for hours on end, but if you tell any of them they're a bit above the others, they take you aside and explain it's because their fathers were Roman generals.
Don't you like Gawain?
I don't mind him. He's young and strong and he's got courage. These are the only things that are going to matter in the next few years.
He told me how they lived in Winchester. I think I'd be happier for Paula to be there.
Here's Arthur coming. With Otto.
That's for you, Mother. Saxon war trumpet. Captured it myself.
Otto. Oh, my dear, they didn't tell me you were hurt. Oh,
this? It's nothing much. My helmet stopped the worst of it. But aren't you glad, Mother? We gave them a tremendous beat.
Of course I'm glad. But this cut, it might have blinded you. Now, come along and let me dress.
Away, you fuss. Are you talking to the men this afternoon, sir?
Yes, there's a lot of things I want to tell them.
Where will it be?
On the cliffs at sunset. If you want to impress your men, always talk to them at sunset. With your back to the sun. Makes you look bigger.
I'll remember that, sir. No, Mother, come it's your turn to have some fun.
Well, that flanking attack of yours was really something.
Is it all right?
Perfect. It couldn't have been better.
I'm afraid those men of mine got out of hand this morning.
I'm going to talk to them about that. It's a good thing this happened before I went.
You won't be leaving us yet, will you?
In about 10 days. I've done what I promised. Trained them, organized them, built you a good defense line.
I know, but I did hope perhaps you'd make your headquarters here.
I'd like to, but I've got to think of the other side of the island as well. From Winchester, I can be anywhere in a few days. I can knock the hell out of anybody who tries to push in, no matter where they come from, north, south, east, or west. But stuck away down here in this corner, you see what I mean.
Yes, I do see that.
So, I'm sorry to go. I've enjoyed working with you here.
You don't really think much of us, do you?
Well, I like you personally. I like your family. But one family doesn't alter what I think of Rome.
Why do you hate everything that's Roman?
Well, I suppose I'm the same as any other human being. I don't like a thing when it's dead. It's the same with animals. Gulls don't like dead fish. Snakes don't like dead rabbits. Something tells them to leave dead things alone.
Everything that's Roman isn't dead. We go on talking the Roman language. The people go on living.
If you cut a chicken's head off, it runs around in a circle before it dies. That's what the Romans are doing. All they want is to bring the old, dead, moth-eaten Rome back to life again. You might as well try and make one of those dead crabs on the beach get up and run back to the sea.
None of us wants to bring back the Rome that we've had for these last 100 years.
There's no other Rome.
There was another Rome. Magnificent beyond the understanding of this world of ours today. They followed the road to the pyramids and across the sands of Arabia and over the Jordan to Palmyra and Antioch. Then over the mountains of Asia to the Black Sea and 1,000 miles along the Danube. Over the Alps, down the Rhine. They crossed the sea and landed at this harbor of ours down there by the fort. One of them came here and sold this little statue. And went on until one evening he sold the last of them to the soldiers in a lonely hill station away up in the heart of Scotland. A year after he'd left his home in Africa. Can you imagine what that meant? To cross the Roman Empire from one corner to the other, a man would have to travel 20 miles a day for a full year.
Well, I suppose it helped to keep him warm.
Every night of that year, he slept securely in some little wayside inn with a Roman symbol of welcome on its door. He paid a Roman coin to people who spoke the Roman tongue and obeyed the Roman law. Every day of the year, he passed through peaceful olive groves and vineyards and fields of corn and grazing cattle. He carried no weapon to defend himself. He had no need of it. He passed great convoys carrying oil from Spain to light the lamps of Rome and marble from Tuscany for palaces in Gaul. He passed the time of day with merchants bringing silk from India and amber from the Baltic, rugs from Persia for homes in Germany, and glass from Syria for windows that looked out across these British downs. And do you know how that miracle began? A few small farmers in Etruria got together to protect themselves against some people who were trying to take the land away from them. No more than perhaps 100 men to start with, less than the men you've got under your command today.
What's all this got to do with me?
That depends on you. You've got a tremendous opportunity. You've made a great name for yourself in this island. You've got it in your power to give these people the same kind of security and happiness that Rome gave to the world. But you won't do it if you begin by despising and destroying the memory of Rome.
You're like all the rest of them. If you speak fine words, you think you can make the sun and the moon go backwards. These farmers you talk about who started Rome, there were big empires in the world before them. But do you suppose they said to themselves, we must remember those dead empires and do what they did? You bet they didn't. They started with nothing, and I'm starting with nothing. No memories, no history, no examples to follow or promises to keep. It acts like magic when I say to a man, the only thing we've got is the future, and the only thing the Romans have got is the past. The things we're going to do are new things with life in them. Not old, worn-out things that people have done before.
To keep a few savages out of this island? That's not a new thing.
It's the oldest thing on earth. You talk about having no history. The day you were born, your little boat was pushed out onto a great river of history that'll take you with it until you die.
I wasn't born on any river. When I was a boy, I lived in a village of little huts on the moors in Cornwall. And I used to go out when it was dark and sit with an old man who took care of the sheep. And one night, he told me about the great light that lay behind the curtain that came across the sky when the sun went down. And how all those thousands of little holes were made by famous warriors who cut their way through on the night they died. There are clusters in places where a whole army of warriors who fell together climbed through together. And here and there you'll see a solitary gleam of light where one great warrior climbed through alone. There's a place in the western sky, a big dark place without a single sword cut in it. On the night before I lead my men into battle, I take them out into the fields and I point to that dark place and tell them it's been kept for us to cut our way through together on the night of our last fight. That's all I tell them, and that's all they need.
And that's all you want to do? To climb through a hole in the sky?
It's a long time since a new gleam of light shone through up there. Maybe those farmers of yours went through on the night they died. Since then, your people gave up trying. And that's why your empire's gone.
Well, there's still some of this good old Roman wine left. Do you have a drop?
Well, yeah, I don't mind. I will say that for them. They did know the way to make wine. What about this boy of yours? Has he told you that he wants to come with me? I won't take him unless you agree.
If I knew what you were fighting for, I'd know better what to say.
I've told you what I'm fighting for.
For the honor of crawling through a crack in the sky. Well, my son, I'm thinking in terms of life, not death. He's only just 18, you know. If I let him go with you, will you do one thing in return?
Depends what it is.
There are lots of these British-born Roman boys like Arthur. This island's their home. They've never been touched by the rotten things that destroyed the Empire. Will you be generous and give them a chance?
Hmm?
Make it known that you want them and let them work together and fight together as a separate unit under your command?
You mean my other men aren't good enough for them?
I mean that if you treat them in the right way, they'll give you something that these other men of yours can never give.
They'll follow me to the ends of the earth and die for me. What more do I need?
If you're going to save this island, you'll need more than a crowd of men who'll follow you like sheep because they think you've got a magic sword. If you're merely fighting for your own glory, then that's enough. But if you're fighting for something better, then you need some young men who can go with you all the way.
In other words, I need Romans.
Not because they're Romans.
You tell me they can give me something, but you don't say what it is.
Well, if I did, you'd laugh and say I'm using fine words again. They are fine words. But you don't hear very much of them today. Ideals. Loyalty. Devotion to great purposes that makes a man stand by his leader in defeat as well as victory. That bred in these Roman boys through generations of service to the Empire. The Empire's dead, but the fire to serve still burns in them because they're young. Why do you throw away a precious thing like that when you can so easily make your purpose theirs?
What are my other men going to say if I bring in a bunch of Romans?
Forget the word Romans. That's the least important thing. All the great leaders of the past gathered young men like these around them and made them their knights. You said just now that you're going to talk to the men this evening with your back to the sunset because it makes you look bigger. When you're finished, turn round and see how much bigger your destiny looks with the sun behind it.
Destiny? What does that fine word amount to?
You'll find out if you think quietly about it until it's dark.
When we were walking round the sentry posts on the cliffs the other night, you said that the sun takes longer to set over Britain than it does down south over Rome. It
takes longer to rise, too.
What exactly did you mean when you said that?
I meant that it's in the nature of men to do their best and deepest thinking when the sun's going down. That's why we're lucky to live in this northern island. We think more slowly. All our ideas come from the south, you know, but we take them and let them mellow and deepen in these long sunsets of ours. There used to be an old saying that children born in the sunset were the ones who came to greatness.
I like to think that Arthur's knights were born in the sunset of an island that once belonged to Rome.
Well, Serena, have you patched him up?
As best I can. He's going with you, isn't he, when you leave?
What about both of you coming as well?
Well, I don't think we could possibly do that.
Well, there's lots of ways you could help my wife. She's full of ideas, but she needs someone like you to talk to and to help her. I want a good man, too. Somebody that understands farming in a big way. Well, there's going to be a famine on this island if we don't get the farms working again. I do the fighting, and you take the land and get stuff growing like it does here.
Well, I don't see how we could leave. You see, well, nearly all our servants are Caledonians. They're wonderful people, but they couldn't run this place by themselves. They'd be lost without us.
Well, it isn't only that. There's poor old Lucian. He's getting on for 80. He can hardly walk. And he wouldn't leave his home. No. Even if he could, he'd never leave his servants to shift for themselves.
And Portius and his wife. She's an invalid and he's really not much good. You see, when this happened, we all agreed to stay together and help one another. And when you've gone, Julian's the only one who can take charge.
Oh, there's no more to say then, is there?
Are you going soon?
We'll travel with the next full moon.
But it's only for the winter, isn't it? In the spring, you'll be back with a big army and garrison the forts all along the coast again.
Yes, that's what I plan to do.
You've never had supper with us here. Will you come in tonight?
If you make some of those little meat pies you sent up to us the day we were working on the downs.
Did you like them?
Oh, I'll tell my wife about them when I get back.
Well, I'll write down the way to make them and you can give it to her.
She'd like that. She's good at reading. Well, I'll come along soon after sundown.
He's a strange man.
If you feel you'd like to go, Serena, I'd miss you naturally, but I'd manage.
But you wouldn't want me to go, would you?
I wouldn't want you to stay on my account. And if you'd rather be with the children...
Would you go, if it were possible?
I don't see that we can ever leave here now, Serena. It used to be our home, but today it's our world. You can leave your home and go on living, but if you leave your world, you become a ghost. That's what we should be if we went to Winchester. Does it make you unhappy to think of it that way?
No. It's what I've felt ever since the night when we stood out there on the terrace and watched the last of the Roman armies sail out of the harbour. You said it was the end of an old world and the beginning of a new. But I don't think either of us really believed that we should ever belong to the new one.
When big changes come suddenly like this, it's as if a curtain comes down to separate the young from the old. Arthur and Paula on one side, you and I on the other.
But can we hold out here when Arthur's gone? I'm not afraid to know the truth, Julian.
There's no reason why we shouldn't. We've built ourselves a fortress here with a well-trained army to hold it. We were lucky to make a little world of our own before the crash came. Maybe a small world, but it's healthier than the one that's gone. I shouldn't be surprised if it isn't better than the one that's coming. Arthur's got some big ideas for the future, but one of these days he'll come along and thank us for hanging on to some of the good things of the past. Oh. You go and make some of those pies he wants for supper.
Well, the convoy's gone. We'll catch up with them before they get to Canterbury.
Sorry this snow didn't hold off for a few days.
I'd rather travel in snow than mud. In weather like this, when you can't work the land, get the men out on field manoeuvres.
Oh, these children! They'd forget everything if you didn't run after them the whole time.
She's made me put on so much I can hardly walk.
You'll need it.
Oh, here's Gawain.
This cloak's wonderful.
Is it comfortable? It
makes me feel like an emperor.
How far will you go today?
If the snow keeps firm, we'll be in Rochester by midnight. Well, here's to you, and this little fortress of yours. Keep the lamps and the beacon going. We shall look for them when we come back one summer night.
Yes, to the future King of Britain. Is that saying too much?
It may be. But there's no harm in saying it. Well, we must go. Goodbye. And
thanks for all you've done for us.
No, it's for us to thank you.
Until the summer. Goodbye and good luck. Now keep your men together. You'll be all right.
I nearly forgot this for your wife. The way to make those pies.
Oh, yes. I mustn't forget that.
Goodbye, Mother. Goodbye, darling.
Goodbye.
Take care of yourself.
Let's go.
I'll write as soon as I can. We'll send you letters every month. Everything's going to be all right.
Goodbye, Mother. Thanks for so many things.
Goodbye, dear. I'll keep your room as it is for when you come back. In the summer, it's no distance at all from Winchester. Oh, the lunch is in the little basket in the green cloth.
Don't you worry, we shan't forget the lunch. Goodbye, Father.
Goodbye. Escort! Forward! Goodbye. Goodbye. Well, there it is.
It'll be strange for a while without them.
The other day when I was helping Arthur clear out that box of his, we found the old drafts board. You remember? We used to have a game every night one time.
Yeah, I've almost forgotten how to play.
Pick it up again.
Are you going round to see the men on guard this morning?
Yes. Lucien Stewart will be my second in command now. We shall take duty in turns, 24 hours on, 24 off.
But does that mean you'll be out the whole night, other night?
No. Simply means going round once every evening after dark. I didn't get much sleep last night. Have an early lunch and then turn in for a bit.
Oh, I don't feel I want to lie down. Why not put on our snow boots and go for a walk along the cliffs?
That's a good idea. I'll take you around and show you how we've got the place protected.
We can watch the sun go down and cross the bay. And by the time we get back, it'll be time for supper. Oh, you used to read aloud after supper in the old days.
Tell you what we will do. I've always been meaning to start that History of Britain I used to talk about. What about doing it together now?
Oh, I shouldn't be any good at that.
Why not? We've got all those family letters in the library. They go back for years. Nobody's written a good history of Britain. Now, every night we'll draw the curtains and settle down. We'll hardly notice the dark evenings at all.
All right, then. We'll start out to supper tonight.
Things might have been a lot worse, Serena. Arthur might have gone on that crazy march to Rome. Then it would have been goodbye. I've got to make out these duty rolls now. We'll have an early lunch and away we go along the cliffs. You might tell Lugar to come in, will you?
Poor Lugar. He's going to miss the children. He was almost crying when he was packing their things last night. I never realized how fond he was of them.
Yes, Lugar. Now that Arthur and his men have gone, every other night I shall be on duty. On those nights I want three good men to patrol the gardens of the house.
I'll arrange everything, sir.
And people in good spirits? Quite happy?
I think so, sir.
You understand your position as my chief servant?
Yes, sir.
You're in closer touch with the people than I am. I expect you to report to me everything I should know.
I understand, sir.
Have you anything to report now?
Nothing, sir.
You sure of that?
What would there be to report, sir?
Who were the two men who came over the downs last night, just after sunset? Two small, dark men who came up the ramparts and talked for a long time with our men at the sentry post near the quarry.
I know nothing of that, sir.
The sentries of that post were your own people. One of them is your own son. You saw your son this morning?
He comes to see me at my room, sir, every morning.
Well, did he tell you those two men on the downs last night?
I know nothing of it, sir.
You've nothing to tell me?
Nothing, sir.
Very well.
Yes, sir.
You understand, I still trust you.
Sir.
You'll find the old drafts board in Master Otho's room. You might bring it in here later on.
Very good, sir.
That was wonderful. We must have walked 10 miles.
No, not quite that, but 5. Tomorrow we'll go along the river. Next day the downs, then the cliffs. We'll plan a different walk for every day of the week.
Mind you, when the farm gets busy, we'll have to cut them short. It's a funny life. One day farmers, next day soldiers.
6 o'clock this evening, you come off duty.
Lucian Stewart takes over, and I'm free until tomorrow night. So after supper, we'll settle down and write chapter one of the history.
Where shall we start? With the ancient Britons before the Romans came.
Don't know much about those days. Now, we'll begin with the landing of Julius Caesar and finish up with Arthur. That'll keep us busy till the summer.
Julian!
There's Portia's coming.
Oh, I don't want to see him tonight. He'll go on for hours about his wife's neuralgia.
He's in charge of stores and supplies now. He's probably got some new scheme.
He won't want to stay to supper, will he?
Oh, no. His wife doesn't allow him out after dark. You go along and have a rest before dinner.
Yes, I will.
Hello there. Come along in.
What's the matter? What's happened? Lucian's dead. He's been murdered.
When did this happen?
This afternoon, some of Lucien's men broke into his house. When his steward tried to save him, they killed him too.
They gone?
Men, women and children. They took the road for London with everything they could carry. There's an army of escaped slaves there. They've gone to join them. They must have passed within 100 yards of my house, but I heard nothing. Lucien's people were always quiet and well-behaved.
What about your own?
They chose another way. They followed Arthur when he left at dawn this morning. They were British. I had a feeling that they'd go with Arthur.
Are you alone up there now? You and your wife?
No, four old men, old shipbuilders. They weren't slaves.
Well, it's not going to be easy for us, Porteous. But we must reorganize things as best we can. You and your wife had better come stay here with us. Bring those old servants with you. I'd come this evening if I were you. In the morning you can send over for any personal things you need.
That's really what I came to tell you, Julian. We're leaving here tonight.
So how can you leave? What do you mean?
I must think of my wife. She hasn't been well for a long time. And, well, you can imagine her state of mind now after what happened this afternoon.
Get away from here. Where would you go to?
Well, we'll make along the coast to Porchester, then across to the Isle of Wight where my brother lives. I'd ask you and Serena to come with us, but...
No, that's all right.
Julian, I don't want you to feel I'm letting you down, but I've got to think of my wife.
I think you'd be safer with us, but that's your own affair.
Right. It's not safety we're thinking of, my wife and I. We're not such children as to think there's safety for any of us in this world of ours today. It's just doing something, going somewhere, no matter where.
Well, you better be getting along before it's dark, haven't you?
If we thought we could be of any use, but you're better off without us. Julian, have you heard what happened on the coast north of here last night? There was appalling raid. Oh, these Saxons. They landed and burnt the culvert to the ground. Arthur's fault. That man was a curse and a menace to us all.
Why should that be his
You
fault?
Know quite well why. The way he attacked those people who tried to land here the other day. They would have been friendly enough down here if we had treated them as friends. But no, Arthur chose to attack them and drive them away with murder in their blood. Yes, so they came back last night to murder.
Well, it's nice to talk to somebody who's cheerful and reassuring, Porteous.
Oh, there's no need for you to worry. These Caledonians of yours enjoy fighting. No, I'm thinking of those poor defenseless people in the fishing villages. Arthur didn't care what happened to them after he'd gone, or us for that matter. Lucien wouldn't have been murdered if it hadn't been for Arthur. It was Arthur's men who treated Lucien's servants like animals and drove them to join this army of slaves.
Arthur did the best he could. I don't blame him for anything. Better get along and seat that boat of yours. I shall have a lot of work to do this evening.
May I say goodbye to Serena?
No, I don't think so. She's resting. Well, I hope you have a good journey. You need plenty of blankets.
Yes. Well, my wife will see to that. She's better already with all these things to do. Well, good night. And good luck. We shall meet again in
happier days.
We may. Good night. Luger, come here. Luger.
Sir?
I expect you heard what's happened, Luger. We should be alone here now. You and your people, my wife and I. It's not going to be easy for us, but we can defend ourselves. Our men will have to stay on duty tonight now that the others have gone. I want you to go round and tell the commanders of each post to stand by until I come to see them myself. Arrange for the women and boys in the village to take food up to them. I'll see they all get proper rest, but it'll need organizing. All right, Luger, you better start now. There's a good moon up. You won't need a lantern. Is there something you wanted to say?
There is something, sir.
Well? What is it?
We have to go, sir. We have orders to leave here and join our people in the north.
Your orders come from me, Luger.
I'm sorry, sir. We have no choice.
Who brought you these orders? The men who came across the downs last night?
Those men and others, sir. For some weeks they've been coming to our people in the night.
You realize what this means, Luger?
We understand what it means to you, sir. We're very sorry.
Now, I'm thinking of you as well. You know how far it is to the north? Some of your people are old. Do you think they can travel 400 miles at this time of year?
We shall help those who are old, sir. Traveling is never hard when one is going home.
You all agreed on this?
We have no choice, sir. Those who disobey the order to return will be branded as traitors and outlaws.
What other orders were you given?
We were ordered to kill you before we go, sir. But not to rob you.
Why not rob me as well?
Our king doesn't want his people to be robbers. But they can't be free so long as their masters are alive.
I see. Well, when are you going to kill me?
I have no wish to kill you, sir.
If you order us to do it, won't you be in trouble if you don't?
If it were known, sir, then we should be in trouble. But we are all agreed to say that we did kill you. If we say it with one voice, it will be believed.
Do you think if I spoke to your people and asked them to stay with me until the spring...
There are spies in the woods, sir, watching us, waiting to see that we obey. If we fail now, then we shall never be allowed to return. We shall be enemies of our own people.
When are you going?
In the morning, sir. The sentries will remain at their posts until it is light. Then we must go.
Very well. You realize, of course, that your mistress and I will be entirely alone.
It grieves me very much, sir. You've been very kind to me. But I have to think of my children.
Yes. Yes, we all have to do that.
It may be hard for them if it were known that their father was an outlaw.
I'm not blaming you, Luger.
There's one other thing, sir. I would not be happy in years to come if I were to leave you tomorrow as an escaped slave. If you will allow me, I would like to buy my freedom.
That's all right, Luger. You needn't worry.
It's something I've always looked forward to, sir. I hope you won't deny me the privilege. You paid sixpence for me in Canterbury 30 years ago, sir.
Well, of course, there was a slump at that time, and you were worth a great deal more than sixpence.
I'm prepared to pay more, sir.
No, I didn't mean that. You pay your sixpence and everything will be all right.
You must allow me to pay what I consider I'm worth, sir.
How on earth did you collect all this?
In the autumn, sir, when I work in the orchard, you always permitted me to sell the windfalls.
Well, I never knew they were worth that much.
There are 48 silver pennies, sir. I hoped to make it 50, but this year Arthur's soldiers took the windfalls without paying. I hope you will accept this as the best I can afford.
Give me your hand, Luger. I, Julianus Licinius Severus, citizen of the Roman Empire, being the lawful owner of the slave Luger, hereby grant to the said Luger and to his children freedom from the bonds of servitude, now and for all time.
I have the cap of freedom here, sir.
Well, I think that's everything.
It's usual for a master to strike his slave for the last time when he grants him freedom.
You're a stickler for etiquette, Luger. I always thought it was rather an unnecessary formality, but... There you are.
I've waited and prayed for this moment for many years, sir. For the honor of taking your hand as a free man.
There won't be any need for you to go round the sentry posts now.
They'll remain on duty until dawn, sir. Your dinner will be ready in half an hour.
time are you going in the morning?
An hour after sunrise, sir. I'll see that your breakfast is served before we leave and the fire is made up. The room will be cleaned and lunch will be laid in the dining room.
All right, Luca, you can leave me now. I should be ready for dinner in half an hour.
Yes, sir. You ordered me to prepare the drafts board, sir.
Oh, yes, the drafts. Thank you, Luca. How people love to burn things. We burn their ships, they come back and burn our fort. One day I suppose Arthur will come along and burn their ships again. There's a bigger blaze farther down the coast. Imagine it's Dover. Well, look at it, the whole town's on fire.
We must have a lamp, Julian. We can't sit here in the dark.
Shall I draw the curtains?
No, please. I'd rather do without a lamp than have the curtains drawn.
I don't think they're going to see that small light a mile away.
What time do you think it is?
About midnight.
Oh, no, it must be later.
That old barn owl was hooting out there just now. It always comes by here at midnight.
Seems to have been dark for ages.
Well, they're the longest nights of the year now. These Saxons, they're good sailors. I never thought they'd face these rough seas.
How long have we got, do you think?
Some while yet. They'll play about round that bonfire till they get tired of it. They'll hunt round for something to eat, and when they don't find anything, I imagine they'll follow the road across the downs.
They're bound to see this house.
Well, they may not until it gets light. It's pitch dark out there. What would you like to do? Should we stay here?
I think I'd rather go out, wouldn't you?
I think that's the best thing.
Shall we have supper before we go?
You feel like it?
Not much. But I suppose we ought to eat something.
Shall we take it with us? Have a picnic in the woods.
Oh, that's a much better idea. I'll go along and get a warm cloak and a couple of blankets.
We'll have a drink before we go to warm us up. And I'll take a good bottle of wine with us. Sylvanus, is it your fault or mine? You don't care what happens to any of us, do you? Those old British people thought you were their god. We came along and tried to make you into a Roman god. Now I suppose these new people will say you belong to them. And all the time, the only things you really care about are the woods and the fields. No matter who they belong to.
Were you asking Sylvanus for help?
I was telling him what an old fraud he is, that's all. He's been our family god for 300 years, and he's not even going to say goodbye.
Well, it's not his fault, Julian. You can't expect a spirit that guards a stream in a wood to understand what's happening tonight. Mm. Well, we might as well take the picnic basket.
Where'd you find it?
In the cupboard by the kitchen door.
It's easier to carry on a dark night than a bundle and tablecloth. If we drop this, it'd be the end of everything. Do you remember this old wine?
Hmm?
The last journey my father made to Italy. The last great vintage from Etruria.
Oh, yes.
I've always kept this one bottle for old time's sake. No, I don't blame poor old Sylvanus. I don't see what he could have done about a thing like this. Or any other god, for that matter. It's a bit beyond yours, too, isn't it?
He understands. He's with us here tonight.
It's no good understanding and being here if he doesn't do anything. If he wants to help, he'd better be quick about it.
It's not now that matters. I've tried to explain so often, Julian, but you'd never listen.
In the old days, when the gods were young, they'd have thrown a thunderbolt on those fellows down there in the fort and blown them back to the place they came from. You used to tell me that yours could work miracles.
But don't you think it's a miracle that he's here with us now? The old gods helped us to conquer the world, but they did nothing for us when we really needed them. That's the difference between the old gods and mine. He comes to you when you need him.
Pity he didn't come a bit sooner. There's not much good waiting till it's all over.
But it's not all over. Well, that's the wonderful thing, Julian. If you go with him, it's only just beginning. He can't control what those men down there may do, because this isn't his world. But he can take us with him, and Once we're in his world, nobody can hurt us because there's no fighting or cruelty there. There's only peace and happiness.
And you know all this. It's only what that old priest told you.
It's more than that. When you came in this evening and told me what had happened, you said I was brave, but anybody can be brave when they know how simple it is to go with him.
You honestly believe you can do these things?
I've never told you anything that I didn't believe. When you said just now that we'd go up in the woods, I could almost hear him saying, I'll be up there, waiting for you, ready for you.
For you, perhaps. Not for me.
Not for you too, Julian. If you believe in him.
It's too late for that now.
Oh, it's never too late.
Well, that old priest took a whole morning to make you into a Christian.
I know. But he was a very old man. I'm certain a lot of the things weren't really necessary.
You've got to have a priest. There's no other way, is there?
If we did our best, I think he'd understand. Well, he's used to people coming to him at the last moment like this.
Do you remember the words?
I don't remember everything the old man said, but I'm sure it's not the words that matter.
Would you like to have a try? We shan't have much time. I'll do whatever you tell me.
I think if you come over here and stand by the altar, you're the one that matters now, Julian. The important thing is to believe in him and to want to go with him.
I believe in you. I want to go with you. You know that.
That's not the same thing.
If he doesn't let me go with you, it doesn't matter.
He will if you ask him.
You better do that. He'd listen to you more than he would to me.
Master, we haven't got a priest, but we're in great trouble. This is my husband. He wants to go with you when we leave here. He believes in you, and he wants you to let us be together.
Is it all right?
I think he would have told us in some way if it wasn't.
Does he refuse many people?
I don't think he's ever refused anybody who really wanted him.
Will you tell him it was only a bit of fun when I made jokes about it?
Oh, he'd understand that.
That's everything, isn't it?
Well, I ought to baptize you.
Well, that's a long business. That old priest was splashing about for hours.
It needn't take long. It's quite simple, really. And we got some water here.
That came out of Sylvanus Spring. Wouldn't be any good, would it?
I don't think it matters where it comes from. You're supposed to confess your sins, and the priest does this to wash them away.
Well, what am I supposed to say?
That's really for you to decide.
What did you confess?
Lots of things. But I had time to prepare. He wouldn't expect you to think right through your life at a time like this.
He'd expect me to confess something, would he?
I think it'd help.
Well, the evening I made that old tax collector drunk and he fell in the river and got drowned. I always thought that was rather a shabby thing to do because I couldn't help being pleased he did fall in the river.
And you're sorry?
Yes. Really, I'm sorry.
Well, I think that's everything, Julian. Now, I just have to touch your cheeks and your mouth with the water like the old priest did to mine. And that's all.
Now I'm a Christian like you?
We both belong to him now. If this hadn't happened, we should have gone up to the wood and had our supper, and before we went to sleep, we should have had to say goodbye. Now we shall only have to say goodnight, because we shall wake up together and be with each other forever.
Can't be happier than it has been.
Why need to be?
Does it mean we shall see Paula again?
And Otho. He promised me the night before he went away.
I'd like to see them again. There's a lot for them to do here before they come. Arthur will be a great soldier if he has a chance. And Paula, she may be a great lady.
We shall know.
You think we shall?
Well, if we don't, then they'll tell us when they come.
Well, we'd better be getting along now.
Do you feel happy?
Hungry, too. I'm going to enjoy my supper now.
So am I. Shall we lock up before we go?
I don't think so. We'll take these cups. We can't drink out of the bottle. I think we've packed everything. Can I take my sword?
There won't be any need for that. You take the basket and I'll take the blankets.
Just put the light out.
No, leave the little lamp on the altar. We'll be able to see it from the woods.
In The Long Sunset by R.C. Sheriff, Marcus was played by John Rye, Julian, Stephen Murray, Serena, Pauline Letts, Paula, Jane Knowles, Otho, David Spencer, Lucian Lockwood West, Porcius, John Gabriel, Arthur, Julian Glover, Gawain, David Valor, and Luger, Edward Kelsey. The play was produced by Martin Jenkins.